Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you, thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the Minute Waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners in this country and around the world, but also to welcome to the program this week four exciting, talented, and humorous individuals who are going to play Just a Minute, and they are, seated on my right, Paul Merton, and beside him, Mike McShane. Are seated on my left, Paul Sinner, and at the other end, Sue Perkins. Will you please welcome all four of them? And as usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on a subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Beside me sits Sarah Sharp, who's going to help me with the score. She'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Pleasance Grand at the Edinburgh Festival Fringe. And we have a very hyped-up, excited Festival Fringe audience here. Ready to get us going. So let us start the show with Paul Merton. Paul, oh, that's an interesting subject for starters. What I wear in bed. Can you tell us something about that subject in this game starting now?
Nothing.
And Sue, you challenged immediately.
It was beautiful, and then there was a hesitation.
Well, he got his laugh, and he thought, well, I'll retire on that.
He savoured it.
You've got a correct challenge. You get a point for that. And you've got 58 seconds. You tell us now on what I wear in bed starting now.
Hessian pyjamas, which are bracing and also provide a natural exfoliant when one is trying to slough skin off one's back. I have repeated, however, the word one, but in its plural sense, so thankfully no one could buzz in.
Paul, your challenge.
Was it repetition of Hessian? Is it not Hessian?
No, there wasn't Hessian.
Wasn't there?
There was one, but it didn't, nobody picked it up.
Oh.
It's too late now.
Is it?
So it was an incorrect challenge.
Oh.
So, Sue, you have another incorrect challenge, and you have 42 seconds starting now. What I wear in bed.
Wire wool plus fours are also excellent if you wish to take some of the excess layers off when kipping. Usually you've got to hit REMS...
Paul Sinner has challenged.
That sounded suspiciously like a hesitation.
No, darling boy, it wasn't. She did hesitate before, but you missed it. No, I think it was too infinitesimal to be called within the rules of Just a Minute. I know it's the first time, and I'd love to lean over backwards and bring you in, but I think... Well, up at the Festival Fringe, they pick up every innuendo possible, right? So, Paul, I'm sorry, I can't give it to you.
So, is not a hesitation.
Well, there wasn't a definite right. So, I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to Sue. Benefit of the doubt. The benefit of the doubt to Sue, and she has still 35 seconds starting now.
A gorse waistcoat. Hard to get, but if you look round heathery moorland, you might find some with the suitable bite to give you a really restful...
Right. So, Paul Sinner...
That was a definite
hesitation.
Shall we go for hesitation, then? Yes.
No, we don't go for hesitation. You've got hesitation. You're going for anything else, it wouldn't work. So, 27 seconds. What I wear in bed, starting now.
I have been... I thought I'd let somebody in.
What happened then?
I hadn't buzzed for the last one. You gave it to me anyway, so I thought I'd let somebody else in. I was just being sporty.
No, Sue, you challenged. Why?
There was hesitation. There was an err.
Yes, you did start with an err, yes. It's your first time, I know, Paul, so it is difficult. But there we are. I'm afraid Sue's got in again. With 26 seconds, what I wear in bed, Sue, starting now.
I like to wear a nice sailor suit or a pirate's outfit, which is strange, but I find that eye patch really consoles me, especially on long, sleepless flights. People on Virgin Atlantic recently commented on my piratical eyewear and were frightened, possibly because it is a secure environment and no one wants someone running with a cutlass through what essentially was an economy cabin. That's a long story that I can't obviously say now.
Challenge. Was there an there?
There was an earlier on.
Yes.
But was an actual actually earlier on.
Was there?
Yes. So I'll give it to you because there was a hesitation.
Okay.
Oh, gosh, you've got him with 3 seconds to go, Paul.
I share your sadness.
3 seconds, Paul, on what I wear in bed starting now.
Given the choice, I will put perfume behind.
Well, Well, at the end of the first round, you won't be surprised to hear that Sue Perkins has got quite a lot of points because she was always being interrupted. Paul Merton's got two. Paul Sinner's got one. Mike has yet to score. But, Mike, we want you to begin the next round. And the subject, I don't know if this is your scene or anything, but it's an interesting subject, hugging trees. Can you tell us something about hugging trees in just a minute, starting now?
I've been called many things in my life, an angry liberal, a big hippie, but I am, most of all, a tree hugger. I didn't believe it myself when I was younger, but recently my wife had found a photo of a young Mike McShane.
Sue, challenge.
Slight hesitation?
That was a hesitation, yes. I'm sorry, Mike. So Sue's in again on the hesitation trail. 45 seconds with you, Sue, hugging trees.
By all means, hug a tree. Don't expect anything in return. They're not givers in relationships. They just stand there all barky and just do nothing. I've hugged long and hard and fast an ash, birch, lime, anything you can think of. But nothing comes in back, and I've said that already, but no one's going to ever stop me. I'm going to have to do it again and again.
Yes, that's right. And you have, Paul, 30 seconds on hugging trees starting now.
It's the 40th anniversary of the Woodstock Pop Festival, and it's seen by many people as one of the great moments in the history of the hippie. Tree hugging was evident there in great force. You would see people wandering towards a mighty oak and think to themselves, I'm going to put my arms around that tree and feel its essential woodiness flowing into my veins. We will become one with the universe. Or is that the time? And then I would walk through parks and I saw members of the
So Paul Merton was then speaking as the whistle went, gained the extra point. He's creeping up on our leader, Sue Perkins. And Paul Sinner, we'd like you to begin the next round. The subject is quiz shows. I don't know whether this is something that you're interested in or not, but will you please talk about the subject in this game starting now?
More than interested, I'm obsessed with quiz shows ever since the age of 8. When I first heard the words coming out of my TV screen, live from Norwich, it's the quiz of the week. It wasn't just the magical theme tune or the wonderful contestants, it was the presenter, whose name I forget. What a charismatic dandy he was, with all the alpha male authority of Larry Grayson on The Generation. It was something quite to behold. And Sale of the Century, what a title.
Yeah, it was natural to go back to it, wasn't it?
It was a wonderful show.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Paul, you challenged first.
Hesitation.
Oh, no. Oh, yes, he hesitated after he repeated himself.
Yes.
Well, listen, Paul. 29 seconds, quiz shows starting now.
They are fun to watch. They're not much joy to host. I did that once for a TV pilot of a quiz show, and I didn't enjoy it that much. I've said enjoy, haven't I? But what I'd really like...
Sue, challenge.
Repetition of enjoy.
Yes, that's right. Yes. 20 seconds are available, Sue. You tell us something about quiz shows starting now.
I like Mastermind. It's basic. It says, I'll ask you stuff, you won't know it, you'll feel an idiot. And that's what a quiz show is, the basest form of human torture. Even the theme tune, which is called Advancing Menace, was originally developed by the Germans in the 1930s as part of their torture-slash-interrogation techniques when they forced people to listen to them.
So Sue Perkins was then speaking as a whistle went, gained that extra point, and has slightly increased her lead at the end of that round over Paul Merton and Paul Sinner and Mike McShane in that order. And Sue, it's your turn to begin, and the subject now is ghost writers. Tell us something about those creatures or those people in this game starting now.
If you're going to choose a ghost to write a book for you, make sure it's not a headless one, as they're rubbish with word processing. I did it to my cost, and to be honest, they can type like bilio, but get them to return back to you what they've printed and they can't see it. So useless. Jacob Marley was a great ghostwriter, as was Anne Boleyn, who I believe Jordan used to scribe her latest novel. It's too florid,
Mike,
she says.
Challenge.
I didn't. Did
well,
I?
Your light came on.
I guess I was. I thumbed it.
You thumbed it. Yeah, you got twitchy.
It was a ghost challenge.
All right, Mike, well, we'll give you a bonus point because we enjoyed what you said. But Sue was interrupted, so she gets a point for that. And she still has ghostwriters. And there are 38 seconds starting now.
It's a sad state of publishing where people like Kerry Katona can't even get out of bed to write the story of the last 3 years of their life. As if that's an interesting read, I think we can boil it down to a few well-known narcotics and a bottle of Thunderbird. However... She chooses to get people who she has no connection with, anonymous figures in the literary underworld, to put pen to paper on her behalf, possibly coming round to see her semi-dressed in a boudoir.
Mike Jones.
Repetition, her, within the sentence?
Yes, there were more than one her there.
But close enough together. Oh.
I mean, we might let one or two go, but there were three there.
I'm three. All about the hers, so I...
So, Mike, a correct challenge. It's ghostwriters, and you have 14 seconds starting now.
Many people have found that ghostwriting is a way to make profitable living in Hollywood when they're not doing script writing. I have a friend of mine who ghostwrites for a number of people, but he does...
Paul, send a challenge.
A bit harsh, but I thought there was a hesitation there.
No, there definitely wasn't a hesitation. I mean, I'd love to bring you in because it's your first time, but no, it's... Mike hasn't played the game very much either, but it's 3 seconds, Mike. So keep going for 3 seconds on ghostwriters starting now.
Which makes ghostwriting an incredibly...
Mike McShane was speaking as a whistle. Wayne gained the extra point. He's now in third place behind Paul Merton and a little bit more behind Sue Perkins. Paul Sinner's trailing a little. And Paul, we're back with you to begin. And the subject is, oh, this is good, a Scottish delicacy. 60 seconds on that subject up here in Scotland, starting now.
Near where I'm staying here in Edinburgh is a beautiful shop that sells the most delightful sausages. I won't mention it by name, as that would be advertising on the British Broadcasting Corporation, but the sausage they sell there is absolutely fantastic. The secret is they use real meat, and it is absolutely wonderful. The other delicacy I think of as well is the malt whiskey. There are many varieties of that particular alcoholic drink, many of them very popular.
Sue, challenge.
Repetition of many?
Yes, there were many, many. Yeah. Right. Well, listen, Sue, you're in there with 37 seconds on a Scottish delicacy starting now.
The deep-fried Mars bar is a thing of calorific beauty. Imagine fishy batter, then coated around one of your favourite pieces of confectionery. Mmm, I'm getting herring and chocolate. Delicious. What's that you say? Only 40,000 times my daily recommended dose of saturated fat? I'll have another. A batter, a pizza. I'm feeling hungry. Walking along...
Paul's challenge.
That was a hesitation.
That was a hesitation. She goes so fast that her hesitations are actually more pronounced because you were running out of breath, Paul, darling.
Yes.
But anyway, no, you've got in there, Paul. Definite hesitation. 17 seconds. Tell us something about a Scottish delicacy starting now.
A Scottish delicacy is one of the many euphemisms used worldwide for that most Moorish of Scottish delicacies, heroin. There is...
You haven't won any friends in this audience if I could have said that.
Well, yeah, I mean, hesitation. And also, first person to mention heroin on Radio 4, so well done. Got a long-kept secret here, but...
Right. Sue, you've got him 7 seconds to go. A Scottish delicacy starting now.
Scotch eggs, so good they named them once. There it is, sausage meat wrapped around a perfectly formed egg. Again!
So Sue Perkins was again speaking as a whistle. Wen gained the extra point, has slightly increased her lead. And we're back with you, Mike. Would you start the next round? The subject is dragons. You had hugging trees before. We got some weird subjects for you. Dragons. 60 seconds starting now.
As a child...
Mike, Paul.
It was a bit of a hesitation.
A long hesitation.
Oh.
As soon as I say... No, I'm going to be generous. And Paul's a very generous player of the game. I'm sure Paul will let him have this one. But let me say to you, Paul, I always...
When you say now...
Yeah. As I take a breath, start to go. And then I say, now, and then go. Take a breath as my finger goes up, and then on the now, go. For our listeners, I should explain, Mike has now got up, standing ready to deliver the thing from a standing position. I'd sit down if you would, it'd be better for the microphone. Paul, you're very generous to let it go because Mike hasn't played it so often. Yeah. So the benefit of the doubt to you, not an incorrect challenge because you didn't start, did you? So you have 58 and a half seconds. 1.5 seconds of breath you took then.
Yeah. It's the atmosphere.
Right, no, it isn't. It's your natural delivery. So try to ignore it and go in a different route. So are you ready, Mike? 58 and a half seconds. The subject is dragons, and you start now.
In mythology, I was fascinated.
Deviation.
What?
He didn't hesitate.
Now, give Paul Merton a bonus point for what he said was delightful. But, Mike, we won't penalise you. We'll Thank let you, you keep the subject. And you've got 57 seconds now. Dragons, starting now.
Many stories were told using dragons in mythology. One of my favourite tales is the never-ending story, which was an original...
Paul's in a challenge.
That's two uses of the word story.
Story, repetition of story, yes. So, Paul, you're in on dragons with 49 seconds, starting now.
Dragons are known as by scientists as a Lazarus taxon, in that they used to be extinct, but they now exist. The fire-breathing creatures that were wiped out by a comet many years ago have been now replaced... I know.
Sue Chan.
Repetition of now.
Yes, right, Sue. 37 seconds, Sue, on dragons, starting now.
The mission statement of dragons is simple. Breathe fire, get slain. That's all they do. You need to go on a quest and find one. Spear it through the head, face, eye, neck, however it appears to you. And Bob's your uncle. You return home to a village, possibly wearing its face as some kind of gaudy trophy.
Paul Challenge.
Repetition of face.
Yes, indeed there was. So, Paul, you've got in with 21 seconds on dragons starting now.
As has been said by other members of the panel, the dragon is very much a mythical creature, and one will search for it in vain because it no longer walks the earth, indeed, if it ever did. I remember as a child my mother saying to me, beware of the dragons that live in North London. It is a horrible place full of grotesque ogres.
So Paul Merton was there. There was Paul Merton speaking, by the way.
Yeah,
I don't know if you thought it was somebody else.
It was the best Alec Guinness on Rohypnol I have ever heard.
That's right, yes. It's one of his better impersonations, Alec Guinness, right. So Alec Guinness gets the point. Oh, no, Paul Merton gets the point for speaking as the whistle went. He's now still in second place behind Sue Perkins, and then it's Mike McShane and Paul Sinner in that order. Paul Sinner, would you begin the next round? Oh, I know why this has been chosen for you. How to talk to your GP. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
It should be pointed out that the only reason I'm here is in case Nicholas Parsons has an accident and a qualified GP is on hand. How to talk to your GP is a government information package, basically produced so that the people can stop doctors...
Sue Challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes. Hesitation. I mean, perhaps some of the listeners don't know, but Paul Sinner, when he's not working up here at the festival, is also a qualified doctor and used to have his own practice.
Indeed.
And that's why you made that remark. It didn't get quite such a big reaction as it deserved, because if they'd known that you were a GP once... I don't know why I'm... I don't think I'll pursue that any further. Sue, you had a correct challenge, so you have the subject. You have 46 seconds. How to talk to your GP, starting now.
I like to talk to my GP in Mexican while sneezing, and I find I get an immediate response. Suddenly, a disinterested man is...
Oh, Paul, you challenged.
There was a big laugh hesitation there.
Yes.
Okay.
So, Paul, you got in a game with 40 seconds on how to talk to your GP, starting now.
How to talk to your GP is a government information.
Paul Challenge.
We had government before.
You did have government
before,
yes.
It's my first show, I didn't realise the rules.
Yes. When you get the subject back, you can't repeat what you said previously. It's very difficult, isn't it? I know, but don't worry. Make a little note of it.
I know that to my cost with the what I wear in bed round.
So, Paul Merton, you have 38 seconds. How to talk to your GP, starting now.
Most doctors are very thick. They'd admit it themselves if you weren't looking. So the best way to talk to them is to shout at them very loudly in a very aggressive voice.
Sue Challenge.
Very. Repetition of very.
Yes, very loudly.
Oh, yes.
Two verys. Yes.
Now who's stupid?
Did you take my general condemnation of all GPs as a personal insult towards yourself?
Well, yes, but I did agree with you, to be fair.
No, they're a mixed bunch, aren't they, GPs?
Yeah, they
right.
Are.
31 seconds. Sue, you challenged, wasn't it? How to talk to your GP, starting now.
Paracetamol is the answer to any question presented to a GP involving a medical condition. It doesn't.
Paul challenged.
Deviation, it's not true. Ibuprofen as well.
Specialised knowledge gets you the point, right?
Can I just say, my GPs in West Cornwall, and they haven't heard of ibuprofen. As far as they're concerned, it's the devil's work.
All right. Well said, Sue. Lovely. Right. Paul Sinner, you've got the subject, and you've got 25 seconds. How to talk to your GP, starting now.
The problem is GPs are leaving the profession to go into showbiz. Look at Doctor who left his job as a practitioner on the planet Gallifrey as soon as Russell T. Davis waves his checkbook at him. So we need to stop GPs leaving the profession. The problem...
Sue, challenge.
Leaving. Repetition of leaving.
Oh, yes, you would have too much leaving there. Right, so, Sue, you listen like a lynx, and you've got... I don't know why, it was just a word that came out, listening and lynx.
They're well known
together.
For their listening, the lynx.
I don't think it was worthy of the laugh you gave me, but I'm most grateful. Anyway, how to talk to your GP, Sue, 12 seconds, starting now.
Through a foghorn is excellent. They find it odd if you turn up and usually prescribe antidepressant medication or a long stay at the Priory, which is what happened to me. Suddenly, I found myself in a very tight waistcoat with buckles round the back, rocking to myself and pretending...
Right, so Sue was again speaking of the whistle wind, has increased her lead over Paul Merton, Paul Sinner and Mike Machane in that order. And there's a lovely little joke about this fellow who goes to the doctors. It's how GPs talk to them. And he says, I'm sorry, I have to tell you, you're obese. He said, how dare you? I want a second opinion. He said, well, you're also fat. No, I'm sorry, I'll tell the joke again. I've never told the joke before, it suddenly came to me. So he said... I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, yes. I've got to inform you, you are obese.
Yes.
And he said, that's disgraceful, I want a second opinion.
Yes.
He said, you're also ugly. So that's two versions, and you appreciated both of them. Sue, we're back with you to begin. The subject is texting, and there are 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Texting is the scourge of people who have fat fingers. Look at them with their porky digits stumbling over useless words they may need to communicate to kith and kin. I don't like texting much simply because I'm old, and just as you'd slice a tree in half and see how many rings it has, so you can tell how aged somebody is by the speed at which they send messages. SMS text. How I loathe it. Especially when one reduces the...
Paul Challenge.
A repetition of S.
That's right. SMS. That was correct. I mean, you repeated. You repeated S.
Yes, I'm.
And that's within the rules of the game. So, Paul, well done. 37 seconds on texting, starting now.
One of the first important rules they teach you at school about reading the English language is being devoted to the text. Look at the undertow, the subgenres within a piece of mighty prose writing, and soon you realise that the words that come towards you off the page and into your brain create a marvellous world where you can sometimes escape if you're living a rather boring life somewhere. You can look at the books of P.G. Woodhouse, and a whole area has been completely put in front of you. Country houses, funny butlers, dim aristocrats. It's just like the House of Commons. And
so Paul took the subject with great style and aplomb, went right up to when the whistle blew and gained that extra point for doing so and gained great value in the process. And he's still trailing Sue Perkins a little. And Paul Sinner and Mike Machane are equal in third place. You couldn't really care less, but I thought I'd give you the situation. And we're moving into the final round.
Aww.
Oh, you are lovely. Paul Merton, we're back with you to begin. And the subject is the worst night of my life. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
Undoubtedly, the worst night of my life was here at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival in 1987. I went out and played football with a bunch of comedians on the meadows, fell over, broke my leg, was taken to the hospital, where 2 or 3 days later, I developed a blood clot in the lung. I also attached myself to the disease hepatitis A, which was great fun. So as I lay in that particular place...
Sue Challenge.
Slight hesitation.
That was hesitation. He's trying to pick another word for hospital, and it didn't come up. And so you've got him with 38 seconds, Sue, on the worst night of my life, starting now.
The worst night of my life was last night as I listened to seagulls raiding a biffa bin outside my hotel.
Paul Challenge.
They happen to be a great band. First album was fantastic.
Yes. I'm afraid, Paul, I've never heard of the Seagulls.
Oh, well, that's it then, isn't it?
No, but we enjoyed your interruption. Give him a bonus point for that. Sue was interrupted, so she gets a point and continues with, for 34 seconds, the worst night of my life starting now.
Equally, it was watching Cliff Richard play the part of Heathcliff in the aforementioned musical. I had imagined on reading Wuthering Heights a brutish, wolfish man who comes across this young ingenue and taunts her and taints her, thus realising the potency of romantic love. With Cliff, however, whose name I have mentioned
yes,
twice...
Paul Chant.
Reputation of Cliff.
Yeah, we had too much of Cliff there.
You can never have too much of Cliff.
Oh, that was a lovely cue for you, wasn't it, Sue? Right, you took it up and ran with it. But, Paul, you had a correct challenge. 18 seconds, the worst night of my life, starting now.
And I gave a blood test and they found that my Cliff Richard levels were impossibly high. More than any individual could stand, apart from the great singer himself. So, as I look around this audience now, I think about the worst night of my life and I realise that is past. It is gone. Now, it is a different...
Well, let me give you the final score then. Mike Machane, who hasn't played the game, only played once before, did very well. He didn't get started very quickly on occasion, so slipped up there. He finished in quite a strong fourth place.
I'm a
But in this show, it's the contribution, it's not the points. Paul Sinner, who's never played the game before, finished up in a very strong third place, quite a lot of points. Paul Merton, who's played the game a lot, finished up in an excellent second place. And Sue Perkins, who's played the game many times as well, has got a record number of points. And so today we say, Sue, you are our winner. So it only remains for me to say thank you to these four delightful players of the game, Paul Merton, Mike McShane, Paul Sinner, and Sue Perkins. I also thank Sarah Sharp, who's kept the score so magnificently, blown her whistle with great aplomb. We thank our audience here. We thank our producer, Claire Jones. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this game, and we are deeply indebted to this audience here, who cheered us on our way. We hope you've enjoyed it. We hope the listeners have enjoyed it, and we hope you'll all tune in again the next time we play Just a Minute.
Next week, same venue, Edinburgh, same year, 2009, but a slight tweak of the cast. Paul Merton and Sue Perkins will be joined by Janie Godley and Richard Herring.